The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Tyler Cook and Cameron Utley. And today's discussion is about financial literacy. Whether you're established individuals, business owners, high earners, those on their way to financial stability, or somebody just starting out, we want to boost your financial literacy. So, mastering wealth, unique ways to boost your financial literacy. How many times can I say literacy? So important. When you're working with clients whose wealth is growing, what specific strategies do you guys focus on to help them manage new financial complexities?
It starts with the fundamentals. I'll use an example of an athlete. Even the professionals are always training on their fundamentals to keep it fresh. So when you're talking about financial planning, the basics or the fundamental pieces to that are managing cash flow, knowing what you're spending. Everybody knows what they earn. Knowing what you're spending is the key piece that we focus on first. And then some of the core pieces to the plan, like cash reserve, looking at your insurances and so forth. So there's a lot of layers to it, but it starts with the kind of looking at your feet first and saying, okay, where am I at? What goals do I have ahead that I want to plan for? And then our job is to come in and help guide the, you know, guide the ship to steer around the obstacles that come up, because there's going to be obstacles in somebody's plan. And that's where people get thrown off course, is they lose sight of the fundamentals that they know. They're just ignoring them because they're not in front of their face. So constant review, constant education is the key to success.
That's actually a really good point. It's something I think about when I think about, especially in professional athletes, you know, business owners, you know, specialists like attorneys, lawyers, those that are really kind of starting pretty strong and building a financial future, and then they're right in the throes of it, they're still people. You know, they're still people with habits and the need for sort of a higher arching hand on the shoulder, I would assume, right? I mean, just because you're making a lot of money and established doesn't mean your financial literacy wanes, is what I'm saying.
I think one thing we talk about a lot is, at least financial planning, or whether it's fitness training or whatever you want to look at, it's not linear, right? It's like you said, review is one thing that we focus on. And so we obviously, whether you're just starting out, whether you're in the middle of your career, at the end of the career, you just need to focus and be content with that, you know, there's going to be something that comes up. Marriage, kids going to school, you know, life change, job change, that you just need to lean on those fundamentals and circle back to the foundational pieces.
What would you say is the most sort of critical component of someone's attention span to their financial plan, especially as they're established financially? You know, they think that everything, all the ducks are in a row. What's on the radar, you know, the more established and the more successful you are?
It's probably what's not on the radar. Just those one-off things that come up, the unexpected things. But if you stay grounded in your fundamentals throughout the year and continue to be proactive with things, it's a little easier to handle those things, those one-offs that come up, good or bad. Mm-hmm. So I think staying grounded throughout the plan and just recognizing it's important to continue to show up. It can't just be on autopilot. There is no such thing as autopilot in financial planning. It's ongoing. It's comprehensive. So if you stay game ready in the financial world, it's document ready, right? Knowing where your stuff is when you need it versus having to scramble when an emergency comes up. That's powerful. That's peace of mind generating the mindset of ongoing, and you're committed to something. Because if it's just like anything, like a diet, exercise, whatever it is, you got to keep showing up and keep doing it. And the routine may change a little bit here or there, and you might have the cheat days, right? But with financially speaking, that's okay. You want people to spend money and enjoy their lives, but you've got to make sure that the core is still intact. The fundamentals are intact.
See, I would have thought you would have said taxes. My brain was thinking you would say taxes are like the biggest conversation piece. In addition to the obvious foundational aspects of it. So, you know, the more money you make, the more important taxes are on the radar.
That's a valid point. I've seen several scenarios over the years, too, where people have big years, they sell a business, or they have a huge bonus payout, and they ignored the tax piece up front, or thought it was covered maybe by the business that paid them the bonus, and then they have a big surprise come April. So that is a real thing. That's a good example.
I kind of want to get into that. I was trying to lead you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. So what are some of the overlooked tax strategies, or I guess opportunities that let's talk about high earners need to be aware of, high income earners? Karen,
I was going to take it a different direction.
Let's go your direction first.
I was going to say, I think one facet that I think is overlooked is most people, maybe some of us in here are subject to this at times, but just being reactive when it comes to tax planning. Just, you know, it's a good time of the year where we're kind of getting all those documents in the mail or online, and we're kind of looking back on what already happened. But the best tax planning is what we can do looking ahead, what we anticipate the business to bring in revenue, what we anticipate if we think there's going to be bonuses at work, if we think that there's a chance that we might switch jobs throughout the year. Those are all considerations. If we properly plan for those ahead of time, then we're jumping into the pool confidently and not, you know, just being scared of what's in the water.
Mm. That starts with what? Good relationship with the CPA, I assume, is the foundation for that.
I think that, and just having good communication with the whole team. Mm. And we look at ourselves kind of as the coach of the team, and different players like your CPA, like an attorney. You know, there's moments where they're maybe the expert or know a lot more about a specific part of your plan, tax planning in this example, where you will lean on them to give you that proper advice.
All right, let's juke back to my question. So when you're talking about somebody who's established, maybe they have an established business and they're financially sound and they're looking for ways to protect their income and protect what they've saved from overtaxation, what strategies can we kind of talk about, whether it be income shifting or maybe tax loss harvesting? You would know better than I would.
Yeah, I think start with the business owner part. That's where you have, I think, the most control over your tax bill as a business owner, is to recognize expenses when you want to recognize them. So, for example, like a good time is the turn of the calendar year, so December into January. You know, if you were looking ahead and said, hey, we're going to have some big equipment purchases coming up in the first of the year, but hey, I'm going to hit with this big tax bill in December if I don't do anything about it. Well, maybe it makes sense to accelerate that purchase, recognize it in December. And then what have you done? You've effectively reduced your taxable income. So that's something a business owner has complete control of. But what I see quite a bit is you know, March, April will roll around, and some business owners are scrambling to figure out what their numbers are. And at that point, it's too late. The ship sailed. Forget about it. You're already into 2025 at that point in our example. So if you can stay, as I said, engaged and always proactive and comprehensive and continuous, those are the key pieces to it when it comes to tax planning. Because the laws are going to change. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in a kind of a strange time where the laws may be extended. They may be changed in 2026. We just don't know yet, kind of in limbo. But that's tax planning. It's ongoing, and something is changing every year. So I had a meeting a few weeks ago with somebody talking about certain credits for their business. Are there new tax credits available based upon, this is at the state level too, not the federal. So there's a lot of specifics, and using a CPA to guide some of those conversations is important. But our job as planners is to prompt the conversation and really look at the bigger piece to make sure that it's all, you know, flowing together, because sometimes the accountant doesn't know what's going on with the business, even though they should. You can only tell so much from a bank statement is the point, right? You got to have the conversation and the planning meetings to really get the most out of the tax planning.
And get the most out of your relationship with your specialist, like the CPA, right? Don't just wait and be docile and wait for them to come to you, have your questions and have your issues ready to discuss with them, I would imagine, more than once a year.
Well, that's why we like the team approach, because sometimes the client or whoever, me, you, Tyler, might not know the right questions to ask the CPA. That's why it's as a team effort. The CPA might ask a good question that you might not know the answer to, and you lean on your financial planner to ask that question or to kind of help you understand what they might be asking in general.
I'll give you a good example of that. I was in a meeting recently too where client had an awesome year, great year last year, kind of a good money problem, right? Everything was covered, expenses are paid for, debts paid off. You know, what do I do with this extra money so I can avoid taxes? And it became pretty obvious that it was time to change the type of retirement plan that the business was using in order to allow for higher contribution limits, more profit sharing from the business. Those are all deductions, of course, for the business side on the tax planning piece. But we had the meeting with the CPA to walk through, okay, does this actually make sense? Here's what we think. But you as the expert CPA, tell us, are we in the right direction? And it was a great productive meeting, and we ended on, yes, it is the right way to go. And now we're going to save somebody, you know, thousands of dollars in taxes just by having the conversation.
That's great. That's awesome. That would be a great feeling. You guys do a lot of good work out there for people. I want to kind of juke to technology because you're talking about tools. And, you know, we have a lot of conversations here about software programs that are available to do financial planning and to do everything, honestly. So what are some of the cutting edge tools or apps that we can maybe talk about or for tracking and spending and investments or tax strategy? I don't even want if we want to do that necessarily, but there's a lot of AI driven tools for tracking these things. And there are a lot of people who are, you know, geeks. They want to get in there and take advantage of those. Let's just help people kind of stay on track and stay in the right path as far as AI is concerned.
So yeah, funny story on that. A few weeks ago, I had somebody tell me, hey, I asked ChatGPT what my tax bill was going to be this year. It's a true story. They read the number from their pay stub, what it was, and then ChatGPT spit out an answer. And it was okay, but it wasn't the full picture. So it was really neat to get the kind of the baseline
That's
number.
Amazing.
But in this scenario, it overstated the tax bill significantly from what actually happened because it didn't account for other deductions and things that were in the picture. But we're not long, and if you can do it right now with ChatGPT and other stuff, but we're not long from saying, hey, Alexa, you know, what's my net worth?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be just everyday stuff. And so I think the planning piece, that's where the creative conversations and strategy and for us as planners to still continue to provide value is there is going to be a human element to it from the creative piece that the technology can't quite solve, at least yet. Mm-hmm. And so from our standpoint, empowering people to use the tools the right way is the key. And so I think the biggest one now is the cash flow piece. We harp on that all the time. But we've started looking at Rocket Money. You know, Mint was out there, Credit Karma. There's so many different tools. Expense Keep, I saw today. But I think Rocket Money has been pretty neat with some of the technology. I'm sure people have seen the commercials for that one, right? We're not condoning or marketing any of that stuff. It's one of those things we look at. And so the idea being use a method that works for you. If you still want to write it down on a piece of paper, like my parents, great. That's fine. If you want to use a spreadsheet, that works too. We don't care how you do it, just you need to do it. And so I think our generation, Cameron, you're younger than me, I say our generation, but technology is a big piece to it. And leveraging the apps, they're fantastic from what they were 20 years ago when we first got started or when I first got started doing this. It's incredible. So I encourage that. I think it's a great thing. And I'm excited too as a company what we can do with technology and leverage that piece.
And so what you're saying is there are no absolutes. There are lots of nuances to the financial planning process, even at the high end, whether you're starting out or you're already established, right?
I joke with the team in our office that we probably work in one of the only industries that there's no black and white. It's so nuanced that we'll meet with one family in the morning where they're doing great because they made a left turn. We meet with a family in the afternoon and they're doing great because they started making a right turn. You just need to better way to say it, you need to be invested in what you're doing. I know John, our founder, has said a lot of times that no one cares more about your finances than you do, and you just kind of need to invest in yourself, but also have that team around you that cares a lot as well.
So speaking of building a support network for finances, because I know I've experienced conversations in the past with people who think one thing about financial planning when it really is something else, and I can attest to that personally. So when you suggest clients start assembling a financial team, who's at that table? Let's just kind of run through the cast of characters. And I kind of want to approach those that are starting out as well as those who are established and who think they might not need the help of an expert, but probably are the ones that need it the most. Who would those people be?
Yeah, the team, the total team, the roles on the team depends upon the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use the basic example, I mean, everybody's got to file a tax return. So our recommendation would be to use a CPA. Of course, there's TurboTax and all the other stuff out there. You can do it on your own. Effectively, you are taking that role on. So it's like kind of like a GM who's a GM and a coach or whatever the roles are in sports. You can do that, but is that the best use of your time? Maybe not. So you definitely need that core piece with a CPA and an attorney. And there's different types of attorneys, of course. Everybody needs insurance to a certain extent, whether it's auto insurance and other things. There's different needs, but an insurance advisor, not really maybe somebody who's captive to one company, but maybe somebody who can shop things out, get you the best best deals that are out there. And then, of course, there's the investment piece. You've got what else? I mean, there's
your business owner. You need it might be your accountant, but you need someone to run the books. That might be also be you. You need someone to help administer. Yeah, another business owner. One, you need someone to help administer the employee benefits if you have employees on your team.
The laundry list, right? You could go on and on. I think our role, though, again, we're the coach of all those players. So overseeing the entire team, the whole playing field, that's the value that we bring to the table. And we work for our clients as the owner of their team. But they consult with us to say, hey, is this the right player, or we need to draft somebody else?
I bring this up because we've had debates and I've had conversations with even people here who know far more about it than I do about the marketing that's out there and how deceptive it can be. So it's really important for people at all stages of their financial plan to really dig in and do their research on compensation methods and what else? What else? I mean, when you're watching the game and 45 commercials come up and they all look warm and fuzzy and they all look like they're going to do what we do, how do they discern the difference?
In my opinion, it's great marketing because it's engaging, but it's also veering you off course of what's actually in front of you. It's because you get tied up into the story and the picture and all these things, but you have to ask yourself, what am I actually paying for? Mm-hmm. What am I getting? And first of all, then going back to your conversation, how are they compensated? And if you can narrow that down, I think that's the first question, is how is somebody compensated? That can lead you to why are they recommending the things that they are? And so most of the time we see this, in my opinion too, it's everywhere, right? It's on Instagram, it's mm-hmm. on TikTok, it's on like national championship games, it's whatever. It's everywhere. You can't get away from it. But most of it is, I don't know if too good to be true is the right word, but it's over promising, and I think it's going to under deliver when people get into it. So to really understand the nature of the service, what it's actually going to do for you, and is it something you really need, or is it more something that sounds good and you want to go after it maybe for greed intentions or higher returns or things like that, things that take your eye off the ball of the fundamentals of mm-hmm. your plan like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, they do a great job making it warm and fuzzy, and it's everybody from banks and insurance companies to brokerage houses and CPAs even claiming that they can be your financial advisor. And even I sit there and I think, knowing what little I know here as a peripheral employee, I sit and I watch these and it just makes me shake my head because they really can be convincing, and you sit and go, well, what's going to make them different from the next person? And how do you ask those questions? Where do you start other than saying, how are you compensated? How am I paying you? Yeah. And then you're counting on them to really kind of be fully disclosed, right?
Yeah, let's go further with that. If you get like 30 seconds into that answer of how you're compensated and you still don't know what the heck they're telling you, might be a problem.
Yeah.
Right? That could be an issue.
Because it's not on the statements, right?
Yeah, it depends on the situation, right? Mm-hmm. But it's going to be layers of legalese and other things like that. But if they can't explain their compensation method to you in a very quick manner that's easily understandable, then I would maybe have some hesitation there.
Punt.
Yeah, yep. I think another good one is asking, you know, what we, obviously they'll tell you what they're going to do for you. Ask them, is there anything that they don't do? You know, do they not give certain tax or legal or insurance advice? Ask them during, you know, I think another good one is, at least for our profession, what does the first year of our relationship look like? Is our relationship ongoing or is it a start and stop? Because mm-hmm. I think you'd be surprised at some of the answers you get.
Or is it hourly charged, you know, phone right. calls, like, you know,
yep.
the whole structure. So really dive in. Gotcha. So for those who are established, and this is, as I've done research, this was interesting to me. I've never looked at this perspective before. Experiential learning came on board, you know, gaining hands on financial knowledge. So do you encourage clients to get their hands, or I guess how would you encourage clients to get their hands on what their financial education might look like as established, successful business people, corporate executives? You know, would that look like attending workshops, or is it immersive learning? How would that even help somebody who's already they're like rocking and rolling? They think they're in a good place and know what they need to know. How does that change that?
I think it goes more towards the networking piece, the types of events you'll attend and the people that you're surrounded by. And that's where all of these kind of deals get started, the conversation. So if you're dealing with somebody who's already established and has been around the block a few times and maybe looking for that next deal, a lot of that happens at different events. And it could be, you know, corporate events. It could be just travel. I mean, it could be all sorts of different things. I've actually, back in the day, I worked some of those events at a local golf club and saw how it kind of all goes down. Mm-hmm. And so the idea there is the framework to your plan. It's never ending. So it's not about getting like to retirement or to the certain date or to accomplishing a goal. It's continuous till the end of your life. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to reassess where you're at and what you're looking for. And I think, again, that's where I've seen some scenarios go sideways where it sounds great, maybe almost too good to be true for this next deal. And sometimes that's a mentality of a, you know, lifelong entrepreneur who needs the next thing. There's always got to be something there. But that's where we can kind of come in as the coach and say, hey, is this something you really need? Like, do you really need to expose yourself to this type of thing? Or should we keep really rolling how you have been the last 20 years? That's a personal preference thing for most. But once you're established, I think it's refining things. Mm-hmm. As long as you have the core in place, it's refining what you can. But also, you don't want to tinker just to tinker. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance there. It's hard to give you a straight answer on it, Tracy, because there's so many ways that could go.
How tough is it when you're talking to somebody who's trying to manage their allocation and you see them kind of heading in the wrong direction? I would think that would be tough to kind of be the neck that turns the head back to where it needs to.
I have no problem doing that.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, that's what they're paying us for. Some of the most valuable things we can tell somebody is no. There's a lot of value in saying no. And of course, you explain why. But I think Vanguard did a study on this too a while ago about that. Like, just what's the value that an advisor brings to the table? And there's a lot of value just by not letting them make the wrong decision, by saying no. Mm-hmm. For example, when to sell out of the market, whether it's elections or other geopolitical stuff, what's the value you add by telling somebody not to do that? Mm-hmm. And they have studies on it.
We say a lot of times that we need to make sure we know why we're doing what we're doing, why we're investing, why we're doing tax planning, why we're, you know, working in our 50s and 60s. It's for that longer term thing. So these shorter term, you know, bumps in the road or left turns or whatever are normal. We adjust and our why might change. But as long as we have that long term vision, we're staying on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. And I think those conversations too, Tracy, about people who are established, a lot of what I've seen over the years is it's about the next generation, the legacy planning. What do they want to leave behind? That's the conversation it shifts to from, because you work your butt off to build and grow and build your estate and your net worth. Once you get there, it's about protecting it, the fear of losing it, and then also concerns about passing it on to the next generation and making sure they don't blow it.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, too, is kind of jumping back just a little bit, educating family members, right? Having those conversations. And we've had podcasts that where we've solely talked about how to talk to your kids and so forth. But I would imagine at that level, it's even more important because the legacy could be massive and the vision is on point.
Yeah, what I've seen work well with that too is a family meeting. Once the kids are of a certain age and development in their lives, a family meeting to understand things and explain things. And of course, we don't have to guide that meeting individually. You can be there to add color and commentary to it, but the parents guiding the philosophy or the strategies that they want to pass on to the next generation, that's been so neat to watch. And I've watched it a lot recently with kids in their mid-20s, early 30s, sitting down with parents in their 60s and 70s and saying, all right, here's what we got. Here's the potential.
I don't think it matters how many zeros are at the end either.
Yeah.
It might be nothing at the end, and those meetings are still just as important.
You got it.
That would be tough, though, because I can talk for my generation. We, and I've said this before, talking about money is taboo. So I would imagine it's a decent challenge to make sure that people understand how important it is to have those conversations with their children and family members.
Yeah, I mentioned it on a few shows ago. There's this great wealth transfer is coming. I believe it's somewhere in that it's something like $80 trillion. It's crazy. The number is significant. So there's going to be a lot of those conversations, but there's also going to be conversations that don't happen. And unfortunately, could be easy come, easy go, and people
will
blow it.
They're going to be ready, Tyler. All these Gen Zs are going to be walking around with their corporate American Express gold cards. You know, that marketing is tackling that generation right now. So they're going to be ready, yeah. You know, card in hand with their little trust funds.
to blow it, right? To spend it, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that'll happen with some of it, but whatever we can do to help people understand the opportunity in front of them is the key. Yeah. And I'm saying with these kids of people who would inherit money and or from their parents, and it's a pretty neat thing when you can see that all come together. And then I've done a few of these recently, and at the end of the meeting, I'll pause and ask a question, and just you say, "How are you feeling?" And some of the kids they don't even know what to say because they're baffled by it. Some of them already had an idea, so they get it, but you can really see it kind of sink in with people that, wow, we really have an opportunity here to make something that's generational.
Yeah, big responsibility. Sounds to me like there really is no differentiation as far as financial literacy. It's a journey. It's a marathon, right? Not a destination. So keep learning, asking questions, and making smart moves with your money. Check in with the experts. We're here for you. We hope you'll tune in, and we appreciate you hanging out with us today to talk about the subject. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.